Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 1 is where we're going to start. Now, when we go in there tonight, we're going to look at the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. When we look at those books, 1 and 2 Kings begin pretty much with the death of David and the beginning of the reign of Solomon. And they go all the way through and document the division of Israel between the northern and the southern kingdoms, between Israel and Judah, and then on down to the reigns of the kings of both, but primarily Israel and Judah, and follows both lineages down. And then culminates, goes down to the carrying away of Judah to Babylon, and they follow that all the way down. And when you get to First and Second Chronicles, the books of the Chronicles. They focused primarily on Judah, and some people have said that 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Samuel are the stories told from man's viewpoint, and that 1 and 2 Chronicles are the same stories told by God's viewpoint. No, it's all God's viewpoint because it's the Word of God. So when people do that, there are different attitudes. God gives us different insights into the way people think throughout the Bible, but no, it's the Word of God, and that's the problem that a lot of people have, is they try to put man's influence in there, and when you put man's influence in there, well, you corrupt things and you do things. God tells the truth about man, but the Word of God is truth, so we have to work through that. We have to focus at that. So we get to the book of First Kings, and it starts out with the David in his late years, and then the rebellion of Adonijah, which was one of the sons of David, who wanted to be king, and Joab tried to set up Adonijah as king, and David chose Solomon. And so we have that choice of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2. And then we have the death of David, and David makes his charge to Solomon. And then chapters 2 through 11, we have the reign of Solomon. And we look at Solomon's life, and we look at how he started out. And we look at how God blessed him. And we look at David, at Solomon's life through there. And early on, we see that we see the downfall of Solomon, because in chapter 3 it says, in verse 1 it says, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about." And so even though Solomon started right, he began to do some things wrong early that would have implications later and would lead to his fall. But he did. God blessed him, and of course we know of his wisdom, and we know the visit of the Queen of Sheba and the different things that happened there. And we see that picture there of Solomon's life and how he built the temple. And Solomon is kind of a dual type, if you will. He is the picture of the one who built the temple, kind of like a type of Christ, and then he devolves into somebody that brought in all manner of apostasy and allowed for the defiling of the temple. So when he married all of these other foreign women and then began to build places for them to worship their gods and things like that, so he became very foolish there. And one of his wives bore him a son. That son was the name of Rehoboam. And from chapters 14 through 22, we see the chapters 12 and 13, we see the foolishness of Rehoboam. They gave counsel that Solomon had become tyrannical in his last years. And so the older men came and they gave Rehoboam the counsel to lighten their burdens, so that he would gain the people's hearts. And he took rather the counsel of the younger men and said he was going to make the burdens worse and the difficulties worse. And so under Jeroboam, they left. God gave 10 tribes to Jeroboam. We see that. We see the kingdom divided. And then as we look at a divided kingdom, we begin to see, we see the foolishness and the apostasy and idolatry of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was afraid that the people would go back to the temple to worship, and he didn't trust God, even though God told him he would give him those 10 tribes. And he didn't believe that, so he went and set up calves, made idols, made calves, and set them up at Dan and Bethel, and then told the people to worship there. So he introduced false worship and that idolatry. So we see that picture there. And then from chapters 14 through 22, we see that divided kingdom. We see in Israel, we see the Jeroboam to Ahaziah, the kings there. And then for Judah, we see Rehoboam to Jehoshaphat. And then chapter 17 and 19, we see the story of Elijah, the prophet of God. We see his battle with Ahab and Jezebel. And we see him the call of Elisha during that time. Several things that happened during that time frame there in the life of Elisha. And so then we get to 2 Kings. It starts out with the death of Ahaziah. Chapter 2 is, that's chapter 1. Chapter 2 is Elijah's translation, being caught up, taken up by a chariot of fire. And then Elisha taking up his mantle. Chapters 2 through 13 talk about the ministry, focused primarily on the ministry Elisha during that time. And then all the way through that, chapters 1 through 25, you have that divided kingdom. And you have the kings there. You have for Israel, Ahaziah through Hoshea. And for Judah, you have Jehoshaphat to Zedekiah. And as you go through there, Shalmaneser of Assyria came and carried away Israel, the northern kingdoms, under the reign of Hoshea. And then Nebuchadnezzar came with over the Babylonians and took Judah, carried away Judah captive to Babylon. And so that's the picture of that. As you go through there, you see these kings, and you see their pictures there. There's a lot of things about them, or their characters given, and we see their characters given and the things they did, and whether they were good, whether they did good in the sight of the Lord, or whether they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we see that picture all the way through 1 and 2 Kings. And in doing so, we learn a lot of different things. You'll find out a lot of times, for example, you go through there and it talks about a king, Rehoboam's king. Rehoboam's mother was Naamah, and she was an Ammonitess. So she was of the children of Ammon. They worshiped false gods. And that was one of the people that Solomon married. And so during that time, that her influence on Rehoboam is mentioned. And then Many times it says his mother's name was. And so for both the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, depending on how their the choice of wife that these men made, it made an impact on their children, which made an impact on the entire nation. So these are the type of things we see there, and we learn, and we see the idolatry of Israel, we see the idolatry of Judah as they go, we see them again being punished, being turning back to the Lord in many cases. We see those different types of things. But all of this gives an overview of both the Israel and Judah, starting when the kingdom wasn't divided under Solomon, David and Solomon, and then when it divided under Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and then all the way through to the end, and we see their apostasy. We see God's promises being kept. God's promises not just for good, but God's promises of judgment. Those things that he said would come on. And then when we get to the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it's much different, because first off, it starts chapters 1 through 9, give genealogies of Adam through Saul, gives Ishmael's genealogies, gives Esau's genealogies in there as well. So there's a lot of genealogy there, and those chapters are very important, because not only do they show the lineage of David and the lineage of Saul and all of those down there from Adam, they also show the lineage of the Messiah, the lineage of the Savior. And so we see that picture all the way through in 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9. Chapter 10 talks about the death of Saul, where Saul died, was killed by the Philistines, or his sons were killed by the Philistines, and then Saul committed suicide, or tried to, and then was killed by the Amalekite. So we see that picture there. We see from chapters 11 through 23, we see the reign of David. And in chapter 23, we see the appointment of Solomon. And then the remaining chapters deal with different things that happened during the, at least to chapter 27, chapter 23 to 27 deal with the different designations of service for the Levites for the temple that David actually did. The sons of Asaph, the sons of the Kohathites, and then chapter there's a break in chapter 24, and it gives the genealogy of the high priest from Aaron to Zadok. And so the high priest, that lineage from Aaron, is given there in chapter 24. In chapter 25 and 26, it continues with the designation of the different Levites for the service of the temple and for the things that they were supposed to do there. And then chapter 27 talks about David's mighty men, his officers, his generals, and his counselors, those people, gives their information on them, a lot of the important things that are there. So you can see that the focus here is on the First and Second Chronicles is on the house of David and then down through Judah. So it's focused mainly on David. And so it's very important to the lineage of the Messiah, of the Savior, as we look through there and we see that picture of what's there. And then if you will take the genealogies that are given in Matthew and Luke, and you will compare them to the genealogies given in First Chronicles, you'll learn a lot of things about that genealogy. And a lot of those things will begin to make some sense to you as we move forward in this. And then so chapter 28 has David's charge to Solomon. And then chapter 29 has David's final charge to Israel, David's death, and the coronation of Solomon in that time frame. And so then we get to the book of 2 Chronicles, and we continue the lineage of the kings of Judah. Chapters 1 through 9 are the reign of Solomon and the building of the temple, down to Solomon's fall. Chapters 10 and 11 cover the reign of Rehoboam and the division of the kingdom of there. Again, gives more detail into that. Chapter 13 covers the reign of Abijah. Chapter 14 through 16 covers the reign of Asa. Chapters 17 through 20 covers the reign of Jehoshaphat. Now, we've already seen some of this in less detail in 1 and 2 Kings, but now the focus is not an overview. The focus is to give more information about what these kings did, how they were. You look at Rehoboam and his failure. Abijah was a bad king. Asa was a good king. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Jehoram was a bad king. Chapters 22 and 23. 21 is the reign of Jehoram. 22 and 23 is the reign of Ahaziah, who Jehu, I believe, killed, and his mother, Athaliah, she went and tried to kill all of the seed of David. She went in there. So her usurpation of the kingdom, and Jehoiada the priest saved one, and that was Joash, and saved him alive. And they kept him in the temple till he got to an age. I think he was 7 or 8 years old. Till they kept him till he was 7 or 8 years old. And during this time, Athaliah reigned over Israel. I mean, over Judah, because she wanted to reign. She didn't want it to go on. So she killed her grandkids and grandnephews and grandchildren and nieces and grandnephews, all those, she killed them so that she could reign. And Jehoiada the priest, he saved Joash alive, and they kept him alive. And then they brought Joash out, and they killed Athaliah, and they crowned Joash king. And so chapter 24 covers the reign of Joash. Joash starts out very well. Then he goes bad, and then he actually kills one of the sons or grandsons of Jehoiada, the priest who saved him. And he's judged for it. He starts out. And then chapter 25 has the reign of Amaziah, the king. And then chapter 26 brings in the reign of Uzziah, and how Uzziah tried to go into the temple and burn incense, and God struck him with leprosy because he tried to usurp the role of the priests. All right? And in doing so, you think about this. In doing so, he was trying to usurp not just the role of the priest, but the role of the Messiah. Because the Messiah is what? Prophet, priest, and king. So something to think about in that line. So why did God smite him with leprosy? It wasn't just because he went in against the priests. There were a lot of them that went against the priests. But he tried to usurp the role of the priest. He didn't just try to kill a priest or put somebody out of the priesthood and put somebody back in. Because David or Solomon put Abiathar out of the priesthood and put Zadok in his place, if I remember correctly. Maybe David put Abiathar out of the priesthood and put in Zadok. But the things that were done there during that time frame. And then You have the reign of Jotham in chapter 27, the reign of Ahaz in chapter 28, and then in chapters 29 through 32, you have the reign of Hezekiah. And there's a lot of things that Hezekiah did. And so when you begin to read this, and I have not finished this out or fleshed this out to the level that I want it to see, but if you, when we get to the book of Isaiah, and we get to those, you're going to see that during this time is the time when a lot of these prophets were active. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they were there during this time. Matter of fact, some of them in this chapter here, Isaiah the son of Amoz is mentioned of speaking to Hezekiah. And also, if you read in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord lifted up, right? It was in the year that King Uzziah died. So if the when you read these, you need to, one of the things you need to do, reasons you need to be familiar with these, is because when you read the prophets, you need to understand when those prophets were and what time frame we're talking about when those things happened. So all of these prophets, Amos, Ezekiel, Micah, Joel, all the way through, they are identified as to when they were. In the majority of cases. So a lot of these prophets that happened during this time, we see. We look at some of the prophets were prophets of the captivity. For example, Ezekiel was of the captivity. Daniel, under the captivity, right? They were there in that time. We look at those different things that happened during that time frame. So we see that picture there, and then we see after the reign of Hezekiah, and we see the things how Hezekiah prayed to the Lord in several cases. They sought the Lord when they were being attacked by the king of Syria, and God delivered him there. Hezekiah was going to die, and he prayed, and God added 15 years to his life. Those 15 years are pretty important in the grand scheme of things when we look at what happened there and we see what happened. So we look at that, you take some time to look into that, and then we also see Hezekiah's failures as well. You know, where he failed. And then we have the reign of his son Manasseh. And Manasseh started out wickedly, but in the end he humbled himself before God, and God delivered him at a time. And we see the reign of his son Ammon, and Ammon was so wicked that the people killed him. And then they put Josiah in the reign, and you see the reign of Josiah, which was mostly good up until the end. He got lifted up with pride, but Josiah was the one who came in there and brought the people back from the idolatry of Manasseh and Ammon and cleansed the temple and brought the people back to reading the book of the law. In other words, they had to go look and find the book of the law to be read before Josiah, and Josiah brought the people back. And then after the reign of Josiah, the punishment that God said was going to come on Judah begins to happen. We begin to have the reign of Jehoaz, and Pharaoh Necho comes up from Egypt and carries Jehoaz away and puts his brother Eliakim and renames him to Jehoiakim. But he puts his name there and calls him Jehoiakim. And then we get there and we see them put and finally make Zedekiah the king. And Zedekiah was the king over Jehoiakim was carried away by Nebuchadnezzar on the first attack and siege against them, and then they set up Zedekiah. Then Zedekiah rebelled, and they came back, and Nebuchadnezzar, it was what we read in the book of Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar totally destroyed everything, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, carried away all the gold and things, items in the temple, carried them all away. And so we see that picture there all the way through, and the carrying away of Judah to Babylon. All right? And by the way, the carrying away of Israel to Assyria by the Assyrians is also mentioned in here. As we go through the kings there, it's mentioned. But here, it ends with something very important. What it ends with is the decree of Cyrus. So whereas 2 Kings ends with them carried away to Babylon, the end of 2 Chronicles mirrors the beginning of chapter 1 of Ezra, which gives the decree of Cyrus, because God said that Cyrus would be the one to send the people back and command the temple to be rebuilt and command Jerusalem to be rebuilt. And so at the end of this, we get the decree of Cyrus. So from there's a area there, I think the last two verses if we go, matter of fact, let's just go over there and look. If you go to the book of 2 Chronicles, all the way to the end, let's see, get to the chapter. All right, the last two verses, verse 21 of chapter 36 matter of fact, go ahead and start at verse 21. He's carried them away to Babylon. He said, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, at 70 years. And so you see that Jeremiah's ministry is here. And then it goes in verse 23, says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So we see that 70-year period in the already eclipsed at the end of verse 21, the beginning of verse between 21 and 22, verses 21 and 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And we see that picture there, and we see the decree. And then next time when we get into the book of Ezra, and we go through there, and we look at the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, we're going to see those things that happened there during that time when after Cyrus sent them back. And we're going to see Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel and those people there and the things that went on during that time. And so we see that picture there, and we get in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we get the whole history of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. And you know, it starts out with the same kingdom that was under Saul and David, and it goes through there and shows that whole picture and gives us David and Solomon, and then the split under Rehoboam. And then it gives us a lineage and a line, and it shows the errors that the people had. And just like we've talked about all these other things when we went through the book of Judges, when we went through the different things that we've gone through in those times, as we went through before, we see the failure of the people. We see the failure of their leadership, and we see the failure of the people. For example, you look at Elijah, right? Well, Elijah on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. He asked the people, he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, serve him." And what does the next verse say? "And the people answered him not a word." Nobody would say anything. And so finally he said, "Let the prophets of Baal, let them have their sacrifice and put no fire under it. Well, I'll make my altar and make my sacrifice and put no fire under it. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." The people said, "Okay, that sounds good to me." You see, a people not willing to make a commitment unless they saw something. They weren't willing to make a commitment. And you know, we've got a people today that really aren't willing to make any type of commitment, don't we? We've got a bunch of people that rather than stay with the Word of God, they run to see any new thing that comes out, or anybody that cries miracle, they run to it. I pray we have a lot of miracles. But just because somebody cries miracle doesn't mean that they're of God. Because we're warned of the Lord Jesus Christ, what? That false prophets shall rise, show signs and wonders. Right? So we're warned about these things. We're warned about how those things go. But we see the same thing, because what we're looking at and what we see and what is revealed as we go through this is the nature of man without God. And that is why it is so important that we learn to walk with God, because if we're without God, we degenerate into wickedness, into idolatry, into unbelief. That's why we need to learn. That's why we need the Word of God. We need to understand. And, you know, these whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, right? And for our admonition. In other words, as a warning. To admonish us not to make the same mistakes. So as you read those books, you have to look at the people and you have to think that through and see what they did, how they failed. Too often we read them and we don't ever examine ourselves. And that's where we fail. And there's so many things that we can learn. I could spend a long time talking. Like I said, this is not a verse by verse, chapter by chapter thing, but you know, to understand. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm also going to, as I finish fleshing this outline out, I'm going to add in things that are pertinent to it. I'm going to add in the information about the kings, whether the king was a good king, a bad king, whatever that type of thing. I'll add in what prophets were preaching as they can be identified during that time frame and during those books, and that'll help you as you study. But that's pretty much where we stop tonight. Like I said, we've covered pretty much the entire history of Israel from the beginning of from Saul all the way to the end of the captivity. And of course, when we look at the captivity, when we get into the book of Jeremiah, Lamentations, we get into the books of Daniel, we'll see some of the captivity. Looking at the book of Esther is during the captivity, when they're there in that time, during that 70-year period, those things. So any questions? 1st, 2nd Kings, and then 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Any questions at all tonight? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service tonight. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I know there's so much more to be covered here, but I just pray that what's been covered will help people get their bearings and think about all and see of all that's left there to discover and learn. And Lord, that we might use it for our benefit, for your honor, and for your glory. We just thank you for all you've given. Again, we pray for those who could not be here tonight. We ask you to bless them. And Lord, draw them near to yourself. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.